وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب، جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء for all the duas that you make for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate your status and increase you in rank. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Barakah Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, tonight was the 15th Tarawih and the 16th Para of the Noble Quran was recited. And in this particular surah, the remaining incident of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam are mentioned. Thereafter, Dhulqarnain is mentioned. The commentators have different views regarding him. Many have regarded Alexander Macedoni as Dhulqarnain. However, the correct view is that to regard Alexander as Dhulqarnain is difficult because he was a man devoid of iman and fear of Allah, whereas the personality mentioned in the Quran was a king who not only relied on outward means but possessed imani qualities. He used the means which Allah Ta'ala had granted him against oppressive and tyrant kings to save mankind and to establish justice. Some other commentators have tried to prove other kings besides Alexander as the Dhulqarnain, which the Quran mentions. However, if any particular person is not specified, then too there is no problem in understanding these verses, because the purpose of the Quran is not to mention the historical details, particulars and personalities. Its purpose is to transfer the lessons and advices found in these narratives to the reciter. So by studying the Quran, we learn that Dhulqarnain had been granted material power by Allah Ta'ala, as well as spiritual and imani strength. The circumference of his conquest was very vast. On one side he reached the final shores of the east, and on the other side he reached the tip of the west. During his conquest, he passed by a certain nation who lived between some mountains. They were always the target of one barbaric tribe, which the Quran refers to as Ya'juj Ma'juj. On the request of these oppressed people, Dhulqarnain built such a firm and solid wall, due to which they were protected from the attacks and invasions of Ya'juj Ma'juj. This wall will break into pieces close to Qiyamah, and Ya'juj Ma'juj will spread in the whole world. Dhulqarnain, in spite of abundant material possessions, had iman in Allah Ta'ala, whereas the materialists and kings regarded outward means as everything. At this time, Western culture is at the forefront in the worship of materialism. The biggest mouthpiece of this culture will become apparent, which in the language of Nabuwat is called Dajjal. It seems that his appearance is not very far away, because a short time remains for the final battle to occur between iman and materialism. Blessed are those people who are successful in protecting the iman from the culture of Dajjal, and at the time when Dajjal makes his appearance. At the end of Surah Kahf, it seems as though those people who regard outward means and materialism as everything are being addressed. So whoever expects to meet his Rabb should perform good actions. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And he should not make anyone a partner in the worship of his Rabb. So Surah Maryam is a Makki Surah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his existence, his oneness, resurrection, and retribution has been discussed in the surah. So in the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions the incidents of many Anbiya. The first incident mentioned is of Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, who had become old. His bones were weak and his hair turned white. His wife was also old and barren. So Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam was 120 years old and his wife was 98 years old. So outwardly, it did not seem possible to bear offspring at this age. Then too, he raised his hands in front of Allah Ta'ala. Before asking for a son, he placed forth the following three matters in the court of Allah, the Lord of the universe. Say, Rabbi, inni wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala al-ra'su shayba walam akum bidu'aika rabbi shaqiyya. I am very weak. I have not lost hope because you have never rejected my dua. By this dua, my purpose is to benefit deen. Then in clear words, he asked for a son who would succeed him in deen. Together with this, he requested that the son should be such that would be happy with him as well as the people. So Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua and granted him a very pious son who did not have love for this world, who was a devoted worshipper of Allah and was also granted nabuwat. After mentioning the incident of the birth of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, an even more amazing incident is mentioned, and that is the birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So without doubt, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam's birth occurred in an amazing way because his parents had passed the age of bearing children. But Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's birth was without the agency of a father, and his mother was a virgin. Here in Surah Maryam, Allah Ta'ala mentions in detail how the strange incident occurred, how Maryam alayhi salam separated from her family and went to the eastern corner of the Bayt al-Maqdis to engage in worship, how Jibreel came to her, blew into her collar, and how she fell pregnant, and how a severe condition of grief and sadness overtook her. So after giving birth, when she brought forth a child to her people, the tongues of the Jews started wagging and they started laying accusations against her. So Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam radiallahu ta'ala pointed to her son, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, by the command of Allah. So the boy, lying in his mother's lap, began to speak. And the first words he uttered were, Inni Abdullah, verily I am the servant of Allah. On entering this world, at that time of his life, when he had not even reached the age of speaking, he uttered such words miraculously, which not only proved the innocence of his mother, but which was also sufficient to cause the polytheistic edifices which hardline Christians had created to crash to the ground. So in this miraculous speech of his, he mentioned that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed him with six favors. I am a slave, not Allah nor his son. I have been granted Nabuwat and Wahi, divine revelation. Allah has made me blessed. My presence is a means of blessings and mercy for people. I am a teacher of goodness and I am beneficial to the Ummah. I am obliged to fulfill Shari'i responsibilities as well as to worship my Lord. From this, he specifically mentions Salah and Zakah, which shows the greatness and importance of these two forms of worship. I am obedient to my mother and I serve my family members. Humility is an inherent part of my nature. I am neither proud nor haughty. I have been given glad tidings of peace and safety in this world and the hereafter. So the miraculous birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam became a cause of difference between the Jews and the Christians. The Christians called him Ibnullah, the son of Allah, whereas the Jews felt no shame in regarding Hazrat Isa alayhi salam as illegitimate, ma'adullah. So after the birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and the differences of the Ahl Kitab regarding him have been mentioned, Surah Maryam moves to the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which occurred with his father, so that a glimpse of the lies, pride, and the haughtiness, the ignorance, the obstinacy, the foolishness and misguidance found in shirk polytheism may be shown. Another purpose is to make apparent the character and beautiful qualities of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, especially his forbearance, his wisdom, his compassion, so that an example of a true inviter can be seen by the inviters of truth. Similarly, we learn from this incident that due to inviting towards the truth and being steadfast on it, so much rains of mercy descended on Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. From his progeny, a great nation was born. From his progeny, Anbiya and pious people were born, especially Khatamun Nabi. Very amazing is the fact that every nation and every group in the world feel proud to be related to him. So Surah Maryam tells us, then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam opened his eyes of understanding. He found his father involved in idol worship. When he was granted Nubuwwat, he began his call of Tawheed and reformation in his own house, the house of Azar. And he attempted to explain to his father with love and softness now. And in spite of his father being a mushrik, Ibrahim alayhi salam kept consideration of respect in his speech. His father Azar, however, began threatening him and said, "If you do not stop speaking ill of the idols, then I will stone you. Leave me alone for a long period." When, after being continuously invited to the truth, Azar did not come to the straight path, nor did his nation understand the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then for the pleasure of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam migrated from Iraq to Sham. So in reward for leaving his people and family for Allah, Allah Ta'ala granted him better progeny and comforters in the form of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Then after in Surah Maryam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, Hazrat Ismail and Hazrat Idris alayhi salam are mentioned. And at the end of the surah, we are informed that Allah Ta'ala places love in the hearts of the believers, and the present sinners will be destroyed like those before them. Those people who crush their desires for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and become solely His, Allah Ta'ala creates love for them in the hearts of the people, which is in reality the result of the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala expresses love for such people. Then there is Surah Taha, which was recited in the Taraweeh tonight, the incident of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, which is mentioned briefly in Surah Maryam, is mentioned in detail. Similarly, in Surah Maryam, only the name of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is mentioned, whereas in this surah, his incident is mentioned with a bit of detail. Then Taha is one of the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and here he is addressed through this name. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa. We have not revealed the Qur'an upon you to cause you difficulty. The reason for this was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would bear tremendous strain in the tilawat of the Qur'an and in da'wat, in propagation. He would recite such lengthy qiraat in salat at night that his blessed feet would become swollen. Then he would place his life in jeopardy in propagating and conveying the message of the Quran to the people. When they did not turn an attentive ear to him, he would become very grieved. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala in many places consoles him. So here too, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being advised that he should not place himself in too much hardship. The heart of every person cannot be affected by the Quran. It is only advice for that person who has fear of Allah in his heart. The incident of Musa alayhi salam has been mentioned with much more detail in the Quran and is repeated much more in comparison to that of other Anbiya, since they are wonderful and amazing lessons and allusions contained in it, which invites man to ponder over the favors and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So portions of the life story of Musa alayhi salam, which have been mentioned in Surah Taha, can be placed under the following headings. To impress upon the mind, that is, speaking with Allah, wa kallamallahu Musa taklima, being placed in the river, the command of Allah to him and his brother to go to Fir'aun, his discussion with Fir'aun, In line with the principles of giving beautiful advice, the gathering of the magicians to oppose him, the victory of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the magicians accepting Iman, the Bani Israel leaving Egypt in the night under the leadership of Allah's Nabi, Fir'aun's pursuit together with his army, and their destruction when they were drowned, the ingratitude of the Bani Israel in response to the favors of the Most Kind and Merciful, Samiri's making of a calf, and the misguidance of the Bani Israel, the return of Musa alayhi salam from Mount Tur with the Torah, and his expressing of anger on his brother. So by studying these verses, and seven special favors of Allah Ta'ala on Hazrat Musa alayhi salam come to the fore. Protection from the oppression and harm of Fir'aun, whose men were searching and killing newborn babies, just like the pharaohs of today, placing his love in the hearts of people so much so that whoever saw him would begin loving him, taking special care and supervision of his upbringing and maturing, returning him to his real mother to be breastfed by her with full honor and respect, protecting him from being killed in retaliation after he killed the Coptic, granting him the Nubuwwat on his return from Midian, granting him the honor of speaking to him and choosing him for his closeness and love. Then in line with this, the frightening conditions of Qiyamah are also explained. And there is a warning for those who turn away from the Quran, their life will become difficult, and on the day of Qiyamah, they will be raised up blind. Surprise is expressed on the condition of those stubborn people who, despite seeing such a great miracle like the Quran, demand miracles like the staff and the camel. So in the last verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded to tell these hostile people, say, everyone is waiting for the results of their actions. Thus you wait as well. Soon you will know who is treading the right path and who is rightly guided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.